Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Hello and welcome into the Scravy Show featuring Chris Ello for tonight on 97.3 The Fan. April 9th, 2025, Chris.
Four-year anniversary of Joe Musgrove's no-hitter.
Ah, yes.
For the Padres.
That's, I remember, you were on post-game then.
I was, and I was home because it was still recovering from COVID or during
Tony
COVID.
Tony and Jesse were at Petco Park while right. They were in Globe Life.
They were at Petco Park calling the game. I was home in my office at home upstairs doing the post-game show, and Joe Musgrove called in.
He did.
And all of a sudden, I had an interview coming with Joe Musgrove, and it was quite exciting. I mean, you know, this was something the whole organization had waited for 52 years. Took 52 years to get a no-hitter. And so it was quite the night, and to have it, you know, be Joe was special.
It definitely was. I
was quite honored to be in that position to do that interview.
I don't remember where I saw Joe talking about this, but I saw him talking about the no-hitter, and he was saying that he did not expect to throw that many pitches that early in the season.
Right. It was April 9th. It was like a week or so into the season.
Obviously, because he had a no-hitter.
Couldn't take him out.
Yeah. No, you couldn't take him out. And I bet you, because the next couple starts weren't the greatest starts, but I bet you that kind of, I mean, once he did the no-hitter thing, he was doing interviews everywhere. It's just, you know, sometimes you do these big events in sports, mm-hmm. and it actually becomes a ton of work for that person when it happens. A
couple of fine, you know, just how much does everybody remember about Joe Musgrove's no-hitter? Couple of quick questions from it.
Okay.
Only one batter reached base in the entire game, batter was hit by a pitch. I don't believe Musgrove walked anybody in that game.
Was it Odor?
He didn't. He had 10 strikeouts, one hit batter, and that hit batter, I believe, was Joey Gallo. I'm looking it up right now.
It's the only way he's getting on base. So.
Yes, Joey Gallo got hit by a pitch. That was the only base runner. Secondly, who made the last out for the Texas Rangers?
Oh, I know who caught the ball, but I don't know who made
the guy still
out.
Plays in the big leagues, but he's two teams removed from the Rangers.
What team is he on now?
He's now a Pirate. He stopped at the Yankees in between.
It's not Tommy Pham.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Ah.
Grounded out.
IKF.
Yes. He grounded out to who?
Ha-Seong Kim.
Who threw to?
Jerickson Profar.
Jerickson Profar at first base that night. Correct. Very good. You got most of them.
No, I definitely remember that. Because I went. That was a Friday night.
Was not a Friday night.
Yes, it was.
Was it?
Yes, because I did the post game the next day, or the pre-post
game. It was Friday night.
Yeah.
What was I doing home on a Friday night? I should have been out doing
something. You were doing
something.
The pre-game, or the pre- and post game,
okay.
Which is where you had to be.
I thought I should have been out doing something.
I went and hit some golf balls. There's a driving range near the Del Mar racetrack. Have you ever seen that driving range before? It's right off the freeway. And they have lights. And so I went there. I started hitting some golf balls. It was already well into the game. Joe started getting into like 7-inning territory where he had no hits. So I couldn't leave, Chris. I stayed at the golf course or the driving range.
Right.
Because I felt like if I left and the no-hitter got broken up, it would be my fault.
Who caught the no-hitter for Joe Musgrove?
Victor Caratini.
Pretty good.
I've seen that picture 100 times over
right.
there.
Yeah. Two guys had two hits in the game for the Padres. Name them.
Two guys had two hits for the Padres in that game.
In that game. They're two very beloved former Padres.
Jerickson Profar and Ha-Seong Kim?
No, Will Myers and Trent Grisham.
Oh, man.
I tricked you on that one.
Trent Grisham actually got picked up in my fantasy baseball league.
He's hit a couple of home runs this year. He's doing okay for the
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing how Trent Grisham has just survived on the Yankees.
He can play center field.
Yes, he can.
As long as you can play, you know, defense.
You're fine.
You can keep your job.
This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by Frozen Ropes San Diego. Hey, parents, here's a message from Coach Kurt with Frozen Ropes. Is your child 6 to 12 years old? Our baseball summer league is the perfect fit for your player. Starting June 16th through August 17th, summer league includes 8 practices and 8 games. Register by April 30th and save $50. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com. Now, Padres win today. 2-1 over the A's. They take the series. They've only lost one series on the season so far out of the 4, and they have 10 wins. They were the first team to actually reach 10 wins in Major League Baseball.
Dodgers
joined them 2 hours later.
Right.
But still, they're 10-3. I'm going to start with Xander Bogaerts because I feel like he gets so much hate from fans out there, and I understand to a certain extent why, because he gets paid big money. And he's not producing to big money.
Here's
levels.
The funny thing. I don't know that the fans dislike him as much as... I'm not saying you dislike him.
I don't.
Well...
I like Xander Bogaerts.
In general, you don't like people that make a lot of money that don't live up to that. That bothers you a great deal.
It does.
All right? So I think you're projecting some of your own... You know,
possibly
hatred onto the fans of the Padres.
Here's the deal with Xander's contract and me.
You think if somebody gets a big contract, they better be super great. And if they're not, you're upset. You don't like it. You're ticked.
And when they're in town, though, when we have to talk about them, I just have to take it for what it is. I can't be worried about a contract. Does it bother me? Absolutely, it bothers me. But I can't say that he's been absolutely 100% awful. He's not Ben Simmons out there. He's at least trying. He did some good things last year. I know it's kind of crazy for me to say a 20-something million-dollar man is at least trying.
Xander, that's pretty good, man. You came in just ahead of Ben Simmons on the radar. Is he ahead of Zion Williamson?
Oh, he's totally ahead of Zion Williamson. Because he's that's not missing enough. Games because he's too heavy, okay? He's not eating pizza. But Xander Bogaerts went 3-for-5 today. And he's now hit, Chris. He's played, how many games has he played? I just had
This year?
Yeah.
They've played 13 games.
Has he played every game? Yeah,
I think so.
So he's hitting 11 of those 13
games. Right, 11 of the 13. He's got a 9-game hit streak currently.
Sitting 304 right now. So yeah, Xander Bogaerts doing some stuff. Randy Vasquez. We got into a conversation about Randy Vasquez to start the show because Randy Vasquez... he only gave up one run in today's start, which
only gave up one hit.
One hit
today.
Although he did walk 3,
right,
and he got himself in a little bit of trouble in the fifth inning.
He got in trouble early in the game in the second inning. He got bailed out in the fifth inning.
Thank you for bailing me out.
Good
Chris.
Double play made by Iglesias. But
here's the biggest problem.
Your
Randy
thing
Vasquez.
Is you didn't like him taken out after 61 pitches today. You were upset by that.
Well, I was just about to go to that. Here's the biggest thing. We're gonna move past that, Chris, because the team won. I can't dwell on things like that.
Okay.
The problem is that he is throwing like 50% strikes right now, and it's not even close. Opening start or his first start of the year, he threw 92 pitches, only 48 strikes. Second start of the year, he threw 82 pitches, 44 strikes. Today, 61 pitches, 36 strikes. He's not going to get away with this for the rest of the year. You cannot be throwing as many balls as he is and, A, keep your spot in the rotation, and, B, keep people from scoring. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, well, and you are now coming on to the reason why this guy is like a heart attack for me waiting to happen. Because even when he doesn't walk batters, he's behind guys all the time. He nibbles. He doesn't trust his stuff the way somebody of, you know, his – electric ability ought to. And I am sure without being down there, you know, and talking to the whisperer himself,
Mr. Niebla,
Ruben Niebla, that is what Ruben Niebla is trying to pound through his head. Throw strikes and let them try to hit your stuff. He doesn't give up very many hits. He gave up one today, right?
Yeah,
he gave up 2 in his last outing.
I know.
He gave up 4 in the first game. So far the whole season in 3 starts, he's given up 7 hits, but he's walked 13.
That's a lot.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's,
you can't be doing that.
That's absurd. And
there's
like
not much. There's not many strikeouts either.
No, you're 100% right, Scraby. I mean, he's throwing 53% strikes. That is not a ticket to success in Major League Baseball. And, you know, I so far so good because he's, you know, 1-1 with a 1.69. He's not giving up runs, but eventually it's going to collapse on top of itself.
Randy,
you can't
Vasquez
get away with this. And Blake Snell. Blake Snell can drive you crazy by not throwing strikes and still win two Cy Youngs. Randy
True.
Vasquez, not quite there yet.
Not quite there yet. But yeah. How can I really, because I keep thinking about this, how can I really be criticizing a guy who, as you just laid out all of his stats, sub-2 ERA, has only given up 3 earned runs total on the year, only given up a handful of hits on the year. How can I really be picking apart his performance?
Because he's going to have to be better than this. Right now, they're going to need him. All right? Darvish is not back yet. You know, Waldron is not back yet. We know Musgrove is not coming back.
Yeah.
Vasquez is going to be in the rotation for a while.
That's true.
I mean, let's be honest. Based on his last start, who are you going to take out right now if somebody comes back? You're going to take out Kyle Hart.
Yep.
And you're going to keep Vasquez in. So he's going to have to pitch better than this. You know, for the Padres to continue, you know, on with the success they've had. But so far, he's kind of survived it. But 53% strike ratio,
Oscar Gonzalez made his first start for the Padres today. Last night, he showed up in the middle of the game. But he went 2-for-4 today, drove in an RBI. So Oscar Gonzalez is hitting as he did all spring training long.
Took a couple of balls to the warning track between last night and tonight.
I have a good feeling about him for some reason. I don't know why, but I have a good feeling about him.
Okay.
Manny Machado went 2-for-3 today. He walked twice. I was really interested to see today, because today was going to be the first day without Jackson Merrill, Jake Cronenworth, and Fernando Tatis Jr. How is this offense and how is this lineup going to look? Because I thought immediately all the pressure switches to Manny. Manny's got to be the guy now.
Yeah, but he can't go that way, and the reason he can't is because of what you just said. He walked twice. As long as Tatis and Merrill and Cronenworth are not in, they'd be stupid to give any pitches at all to hit to Manny. And, you know, he fought off a couple of balls to get base hits. I think one was a bloop that dropped just in front of the guy on the dive. But he's not going to get much to hit until these guys come back, because big league teams are not going to let him beat them. But, you know, the thing that sticks out to me, he's got 6 stolen bases this year in 6 attempts. Okay?
Yeah.
This is Manny Machado. The last time, last year he stole 5. I'm sorry, he stole 11. But he's only been in double figures 4 times in his career.
Yeah, he's not a base stealer.
He's not a big base stealer, but he's picking his spots beautifully this year.
He is.
And getting it done. 6 steals for Manny.
All right, let's go to Jason Adam.
Let's
another.
Not.
Why? Oh, because
of the
it's
break. A Scraby show. Maybe
you can break the clock
in the Scraby show.
See,
I don't know.
Chris hands it over to me, and I completely forget about the clock, and I'm always yelling about the clock. So when we get back, I don't know that we'll talk about Jason Adam before the end of the show, but what we will do when we get back is Chris, Ben Higgins, Woodsy, and myself held a Masters draft today through text message, and we'll give you those results next on 97.3 The Fan. No trap.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, absolutely refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Traffic. Back here on the Scravy Show featuring Chris Ello on 97.3 The Fan. Matt Scravy, the aforementioned Chris Ello. At Chris Ello SD, at Matt Scravy over here.
How are you going to tell who's on the show?
What do you mean?
Well, you named the cast of characters twice.
Oh, I can do it again if you want me to.
I don't. Luka Doncic, 35 points. Third quarter, Lakers 78, Dallas 72.
He cooled down too much for me to be impressed.
You weren't going
to...
He had 31 at the half.
Yeah, now he's got 35. Oh, nice steal. Nice steal. Okay. So, weeks ago, I approached Chris and said, hey, Chris, let's do something with golf this year. Let's do some sort of competition with golf. And then I came up with this extremely complicated and convoluted golf game. Well, Ben Higgins was listening on the way home, and he texted Chris, and he gave some suggestions on how we should play. And then it all became a big game, and now we are here. We have done our Masters draft between Woodsy, myself, Ben Higgins, and Chris Ello. And the way it came about was last night, I went home, and we decided we're going to do a snake draft. We decided all the rules. I took it very seriously, Chris, to make sure that you guys knew there was no funny business with the order of the draft.
Okay.
I sent you guys a video of me actually picking these things on randompicker.com.
All right.
And so it came out, you were the number one overall pick.
It was a 25% chance. I mean, there's only four
of
us.
I didn't get it.
Well,
I don't even really think that there's much benefit. I guess you get to take everything.
No, I didn't take the best.
I know you didn't. So here's how it goes.
In fact, these are the rules. In fact, none of the first three picks took the best golfer. The best golfer went to the last pick. If you really want to be honest about it.
It could have. Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. Here are the rules, though. So each of us drafted four golfers.
Right.
And so we have all of their odds. And we're going to add them up at the end of the Masters. And first, so if a player gets first place, if they win the Masters and we pick them, we get their odds. Here's my example. I have four golfers. Winner was Colin Morikawa in my example. He had plus 1,700 odds. You get 100% of his odds.
So you get 1,700 points.
Correct. 1,700 okay. points.
Right.
Now, top five, if a player finishes in the top five, you get 50% of their points.
So if Morikawa, for instance, finished in the top five, you wouldn't get 1,700, you'd get 850.
850, thank you for doing the math.
You're good.
And top 10, you get 10% of player odds.
So in this case, Morikawa, you'd get 180 points.
You get 170.
Thank you.
And then if you get cut, 0 points.
Or if you don't make the top 10, you get zero.
Yeah.
And then all four of our golfers are added together. Now, the reason Ben came up with this style is that Scottie Scheffler as the favorite at plus 400, the most he can get is 400 points.
That's it.
But if you pick a long shot who's like 40,000 to one, which are our guys, and they just get in the top 10, they'd get more points than Scheffler would get for winning.
But you're gambling big time.
But you're gambling on somebody that's, you know, not very good.
So that's how
it worked.
Someone in the chat has a good question. Who did Woodsy pick to win? We did not pick a winner. It's just based on where they finish.
We haven't picked a winner, but we're hoping any of our four
can win.
Because we would get the points. But it was a draft. I went first.
Yes, here's how the draft went. So Chris was first, and it was a snake draft. And Chris selected Colin Morikawa at plus 1,600.
Yes, I went with Morikawa over the obvious choices of Scheffler and McIlroy because his odds were better. And I'd get more points if he does win.
Yes.
And I think Morikawa is being talked about as one of the top guys in this tournament.
He always is. He's won a couple, or won at least one major.
Okay.
Ben was pick number two. He took Rory McIlroy.
Which broke your heart.
Which broke my heart, plus 650, because I was going to take him.
Of course you were.
And then, as any time you do a draft and someone selects the guy that you know you're going to get, sends you into scramble mode.
Right.
And so I scrambled, and I just looked for the next best player. I took John Rahm at plus 1,300, which I do like, because Rahm can win this thing.
He won it 2 years ago.
And he will get me 1,300 points, which is not as much as your Colin Morikawa, but still, it's a decent pick. Woodsy had back-to-back picks because of the snake draft, and he took Scottie Scheffler with his fourth pick, plus
and that's why 400. That's why I say it's very interesting. Scheffler's the best golfer. There's no question he's won two of the last three Masters, but all three of us passed on him.
Yes.
To give it to Woodsy.
I didn't feel like the plus 400 was enough, but okay. It's a pretty good bet that he's going to finish in the top 10. So
you're going to get something.
Yes. So then he picked Ludvig Åberg with his fifth pick, plus 2,000.
And last year, Ludvig Åberg finished second behind Scottie Scheffler. So Woods has both of the top two finishers from last year.
And then I went with my...
this is one of your favorite guys. You're the only guy in the world that likes this guy.
Plus 4,000.
Victor Hovland's wife doesn't even root for him.
I don't know that Victor Hovland is married.
As hard as you root for this guy.
Victor Hovland is a great golfer. He's going to win a major one day. So I took him. Plus 4,000, I'll take those odds.
You got it.
Ben went with someone that I didn't expect to go, and that would be Irishman Shane Lowry. Plus 4,500. Shane Lowry has won a major. Shane Lowry can win a major. Shane Lowry falls apart quite often.
All right, we'll see if that happens this
weekend.
But
it's a good odds, plus 4,500.
My second pick was nothing short of genius.
You did steal someone that I definitely wanted. Cameron Smith, Australian. He's plus 6,000.
Yeah, the odds are incredible. He's won a major before, not the Masters. However, last six Masters, he's been in the top 10 five times.
Yeah.
This guy owns Augusta National. He's got to be right up there. And at plus 6,000, I had to take this.
You had to take it. It was a fantastic selection.
Okay.
Now, the next selection, I'm not so sure about.
You didn't like this next one.
I did not expect for Chris to pick Joaquin Niemann, plus 4,000.
Never even really heard of the guy. I just saw some people write nice things about him, and he was plus 4,000. Thought I'd go with him.
Joaquin
Niemann. Watch out for him this weekend.
He's actually not bad. I don't think of him to win majors, but he could win a major.
One of these days, you never know.
Now, Ben Higgins' number 10 pick, his next pick, was a good one. I was going to Ben stole two of my people.
All right.
And this was Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, DeChambeau is always a threat at the Masters. He hits the ball further than anybody. So Ben was on that with his third round pick. Good pick by Ben.
Chris's favorite pick of my draft.
Oh, I can't believe you did this. You just gave in to the world here. You picked the guy you hate the most.
Brooks Koepka at plus 300.
The only thing that I like about this pick is that you will have to be tortured and root for him now. And I know that's not going to be easy for you to do because you do not like Brooks Koepka.
I have changed a little bit on Brooks.
We'll see.
But he's plus 3,000. I think that's good odds for me.
Okay.
Now, Woodsy went he had back-to-back picks. He went Tommy Fleetwood, plus 4,000.
Like. Fleetwood's good.
Yeah.
Good pick
and
there.
And then Tony Finau, plus 8,000.
He's the longest on the board for our picks.
Tony Finau
could be
a selection that makes Woods a lot of... gets Woods a lot of points.
We'll see. Tony Finau, once at the Masters, hit a shot and broke his ankle,
dislocated his ankle.
Yeah.
Literally.
On a shot.
Dislocated his ankle.
Didn't they have to carry him off the course? I mean, it was a complete disaster. I'll never forget that.
He ended up playing the tournament, too.
Oh, he finished up?
I don't think he finished that day.
Yeah.
I believe that was the par 3 day. And then he came out and he played the next day.
Okay.
After a dislocated ankle. Look up this video. Tony Finau dislocates ankles.
Dislocates his ankle on just a regular golf shot.
Just a regular golf show.
Yeah. Who did you pick last, Scrabe? It was a terrible selection,
It was. I was panicked. I shouldn't have selected him. I even said in my text message, I'm picking Jordan Spieth and I don't know why at plus 3,500.
Have you figured it out yet?
I think because Jordan Spieth has won a Masters. He's played really well at Augusta over the years. He's just not the same golfer that he was when he won the Masters.
No.
And your final Ben Higgins stole Chris's final selection.
Yeah, he stole two of yours, and then on the way back, he stole one of mine.
Corey Connors, plus 6,000.
Now, I've never really heard of Corey Connors either, but he's plus 6,000, and he's been in the top 10 three times in the last 5 years. He's very good at the Masters. So I wanted him, but Ben snuck him.
He did.
And now, then I was left to find one last guy on the final pick of the draft. Did you like my final selection?
I do. Okay. He hasn't been good since he won his U.S. Open, but Will Zalatoris can win a major. He has the game for it.
He's a capable player.
He's a capable player. He can. Pick. So that was plus 6,000. We'll give you our results on Monday. I'm not feeling good about my team.
Well, look, it's anything can happen in these things.
No, I know. Right? I know. But that
you never know how it's all going to turn out.
That panic selection of Jordan Spieth was bad.
Bad selection by you.
All right.
So we'll see, and then we're betting we're having a little a wager.
Friendly
on this.
Wager between friendly the morning
wager,
show and the
winner,
afternoon show.
Winner takes all.
Winner takes all.
Yeah.
When we get back, the Big Five, the best in the rest of sports for today. Ja Morant. Is he going to be fined again? I'm not so sure he's going to be fined again, but we'll talk about it.
I'm almost done fining him. Like, I have to think of something else.
You ready
now.
To kick him out of the NBA?
I wouldn't miss him, frankly.
All right, we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the sponsorship deals that the Mavericks tried to put together for Luka Doncic returning to Dallas. That's all next on 97.3 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Featuring Chris Ella.
It's not the Scraby Show.
Yes, we opened with the Scraby Show open.
It's the Scraby Chronicles, and you just enjoy your name and learn to love it.
I made a shirt that said Scraby Chronicles.
Did you? You got the Braden Soprinit, experience before Gwen and Chris. We got the Scraby Chronicles.
I don't think Braden wants to call it that.
Well, I'm going to call it that anyway.
You're going to call it that anyway.
Yes, I am. Luca's still on 38 points, by the way. He's sitting right now, early fourth quarter. Dallas has actually come from behind, down 13, and taken an 87-85 over the Lakers. 9 minutes still to go, though. And Luka with 38, had 31 at the half.
If Tony was here right now, he would be screaming about this game.
Yeah, he would not. He would be turned around, not looking at us.
It's my favorite when there's a Lakers game on in studio. Well, it's the only time he's a fan.
It's he is non-pulsed by pretty much everything. Hey, Tony, Manny Machado hit 6 home runs today. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's baseball.
It's baseball. Yeah, he struck out 12 times. All right. Tomorrow will be another day. Yeah, nothing gets Tony.
but the Lakers?
Laker game starts. Tony is going crazy.
He stands in the break. He stands under the TV and watches it, and then he screams when they take bad shots. Why are you taking that shot?
And then when it goes in, he gives it this. The three-point thing.
He does. I love it so much.
Yeah, he's a big fan.
All right, we got the Big Five coming up. We don't have any traffic right now. Anything else to update? Padres win 2-1. We can talk about Jason Adam for a second. Jason Adam has 5 holds on the year, Chris.
Wow, he's been...
Went another inning, no hits, no runs, 2 strikeouts, 1 walk. Robert Suarez is now 6-for-6 on the year in saves. 1 inning, 1 walk, no hits, no runs, no strikeouts this time, which is kind of surprising.
Well, the thing with those two guys, as I said, it's pretty much the most automatic thing in baseball. By the way, Jason Adams also 2-0.
He caught Wandy Peralta?
Yeah, he's caught Wandy Peralta in the Vulture Win category.
Yes, that is the Vulture Win.
But No, I mean, Jason Adams, 6 1/3 innings, 2 hits this year.
I should also bring up
Robert Suarez, 6 innings, no hits this year. I mean, the 8th and 9th inning, the game's flat out over.
I'm trying to think of another duo out there that could be as good as they are. Like, I'm not just talking statistically.
Ever or just now?
No, right now, right now. Like,
no, there's not. The Padres have the best bullpen in baseball. It's statistically true.
And they lost Tanner Scott, which is crazy.
It's statistically true. And I think, you know, beyond paper, it's true. They went 4 innings today with the bullpen and, you know, piece of cake. This is what they can do.
Jeremiah Estrada, no hits.
I think the Dodgers honestly have a pretty, you know, comparable. When they have Evan Phillips coming back and Trinan and Tanner Scott and, you know, a couple of other guys that are mixed in there, Vesia and some others. But, you know, a lot of teams have good bullpens, but I think the Padres right now is the most, you know, the one I feel the most automatic about.
You don't really have worries. I don't.
Jason Adam in the 8th inning is the best. And Suarez is, he's not giving up a hit the whole year. So I don't think he can beat that.
Good stuff all the way around for the Padres today. They're 10-3. They come back home, off day tomorrow, and then they play the Rockies at home on Friday.
Play your music for the Rockies.
What's my music?
The one you played earlier.
What did I play? I forgot.
The concern we have over the Rockies because they always beat the Padres.
I played music?
You did. You played a sounder that was perfect for this. How were you? No. What you played the theme from Psycho.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Told you I'm slow this week.
There you go.
Rockies, but that is what I feel like.
That's what I feel like, too. Rockies are coming.
Yeah, and I don't like it when they
and they're like,
down.
They've got 2 wins all year, and for all we know, they'll, you know, win 3.
Knock on wood.
Come on. It can't happen this time.
Remember last year? Padres aren't going to get swept by the Rockies.
Padres aren't going to get swept. I said the Padres wouldn't give up a run.
I forgot about that. You did say that.
And then the Rockies won all 3 games.
That's right. No more proclamations for Chris.
They went on to win 8 of 13 on the year. The Padres had a losing record against only one team in the division. It wasn't the Dodgers. It wasn't the Diamondbacks. And it wasn't the Giants.
Oh, that's annoying. That's annoying. All right. With all that said, time for some Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five on 97.3 The Fan.
Last thing about Padres relief, I was just counting this up. In the last 4 innings, they only needed, 22 plus 18 is 47 pitches in the last 4 innings. They're averaging just over 11 pitches per inning.
Yeah, you wanted Vasquez to go the distance today. I tried to tell you.
I wish he could have gone 12 innings. Anyway.
Mike Schilt didn't.
No. I don't think we wanted to see that either. All right, let's get started with something that our friend of the show, Buster Olney, put out on ESPN. He put out some hot takes a couple of weeks into the season.
Okay.
And this may be poorly timed because of Fernando's quote-unquote injury. And we'll see what happens with that. But Buster Olney is picking Fernando Tatis Jr. to finish top 3 in MVP voting. Now, here's my question, Chris. Is this an actual hot take or just a statement?
Well, when you consider Ohtani probably has one of the spots already.
Good point.
Acuña's coming back.
He's not going to play enough.
I think it's a prediction.
Yeah, it's a prediction.
I don't find it to be a hot take. No.
It's not a hot take.
That's
to
different.
Me.
Hot take would be
Jackson Merrill top 3
or Luis Camposano on the All-Star team.
I wonder who said that.
I can't remember.
But I do love that people are starting to really pay attention to some of the Padres stars. I mean, Fernando's been good enough to pay attention to this year. And for an update on his injury, Mike Schilt said he believes that he's going to have Jake Cronenworth and Fernando back on Friday. But do not hold him to that because it could change.
Fernando, I can't believe you don't think he gets enough attention already. I mean, you really honestly think Fernando is forgotten about over here? He's been talked about as one of the most electric players in baseball for 6 years. And he's only been playing for 6 years.
I don't think we've had MVP thoughts.
He's been on the cover of MLB The Show.
And there was a lot that happened in between MLB The Show and today.
I don't know. Fernando's on the All-Stars last year. He won the Platinum Glove the year before that. He's been top five in the MVP balloting twice. I think he's gotten plenty of recognition.
All right, you're ruining my take, which is fine. I mean, you're spitting facts, as they say.
Yes, I am.
All right. Number four. John Morant. Actually, I got to put this up on the stream real quick because you got to see this. Again, we're on YouTube. If you want to watch, just search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube and you'll be able to find the show. But John Morant is someone we talk about on the show because he is a really good basketball player. But he's also not the smartest basketball player in the world, I think, Chris, because he has been suspended twice in his career for flashing a gun on an Instagram Live, and he was fined $75,000 last week because he was doing finger guns after making a three or something like that.
Which after he'd basically been told not to do
that. Yeah, the NBA said, don't do it, and he did it again the next day.
Right.
So he got fined $75,000 for it. He's back, though. He thinks that this is the way to go. And here's the video. I don't need to play the audio or anything, but Ja Morant hits a three and turns around, puts something up to his mouth, bites out a pin, throws something into the crowd, covers his ears, waits for the explosion. So his celebration was throwing a grenade into the crowd after he made this three.
Can we just be clear that he didn't actually throw a grenade?
Oh, yeah, it was all
fake.
You
didn't say that.
Oh. I mean, I think we would have heard about this.
Well, he didn't throw an actual grenade. He pretended to throw a grenade.
But he still did it.
Yes, I understand. I'm not sticking up for him. I'm just trying to be clear.
Here's my question on this. Should the NBA... So there's been no word on the punishment, but maybe he was warned about finger guns and not grenades?
Yeah.
So maybe. I'm up. Should the NBA fine or suspend him? Depending on what they told him he is not allowed to do, if they said you are not allowed to do finger guns, then that's fine. They can fine him. If they've never said you can't pretend to throw a grenade into the crowd, then they can't fine him, but they could definitely tell him you are... Anything you do going forward can be fined or you can be suspended for. But if he gets suspended again, third time for something that's just stupid, you got to start questioning what's going on with that guy. I just don't understand it.
I have the answer.
What is it?
Here's the thing. You don't find Ja Morant anymore. You don't even talk to Ja Morant anymore. You know what happens when, like, a four-year-old is told they can't do something? Do you know what they do? No, they do it.
Oh.
That's what four-year-olds do. Maybe three-year-olds. This is Ja Morant. He gets told he can't do something, so he immediately does it. You know the best way to deal with four-year-olds? Stop kowtowing to them and just ignore them until they get tired of whining. Right? That finally works, usually.
Yeah.
I think that's what you got to do with this guy. I'm kind of over him personally, and I really don't care what he does. I have no reaction to any of the stupid things he does any longer. And I think the NBA either ought to, you know, say, look, we don't want you in our league, or just forget it. Just let him be an idiot. Most of us recognize that he's being an idiot. Some of us think he's funny and cool. And for those of you who think he's funny and cool, That's your right as well.
I actually don't mind the grenade throwing into the stands, but okay. You're not allowed to do it. That's the thing, is the NBA says, no, don't do any of these weapon gestures or celebrations.
I said this the other day. There's only one way messing around with guns is going to end.
Yeah, bad.
Badly.
Really bad. All right. Number three. More basketball. Luka Doncic has returned to Dallas, and there was a weird thing happened leading up to this. The Mavericks wanted to celebrate his return after trading him a few months ago, and the ESPN report said, quote, team sources told ESPN the Mavs had also lined up lucrative sponsorship deals for Wednesday's game with multiple companies that Doncic endorses, but those deals fell apart after Doncic's camp say that name 10 times fast. Doncic just declined to give its blessing, pointedly noting that he now plays for the Lakers, end quote. Chris, what would have been the right thing to do for Luka?
What they did.
Exactly.
Yeah, they put a really nice video together. It was a nice tribute to him before the game. It moved him to tears.
It did.
Got everybody in their seat, up out of their seat in Dallas. Brought down the house lights. Everyone applauded, stood, cheered him. He went out to center court. Got the adulation of his former fans, which he deserved, and they deserved to have a chance to give to him. And then he's out there playing the game, and he had 31 at the half. And now he's still got 38. The Lakers are up by 8 now in the fourth quarter.
Do you think that the organization at all is doing this only to smooth things over, at least attempt to smooth things over with their fans?
I don't think it matters anymore. I think it's way too late.
Oh, I think it's way too late, too. Yeah.
The only thing, I mean, their fans hate them.
It's true.
The only thing that will change is if, you know, Anthony Davis rises up, Kyrie Irving rises from, you know, the sick bed or out of the, you know, gets back into the lineup next year. And Dallas, you know, with Klay Thompson and everybody adds something to it and gets a good season. But for the time being, they're going to hate the Mavericks
here
for this trade.
Side note, Chris, Jose is asking about Ja Morant. Is he becoming the modern, or he said he is becoming the modern day Dennis Rodman? I can't answer that.
Yeah, it's close. You know, Rodman did a lot of stupid stuff too.
All I remember is him kicking that cameraman,
the photographer,
in the nether region.
Everything Dennis Rodman did was to call attention to himself. And I think everything Ja Morant does is to call attention to himself. And so when you get people that want to do that, you stop paying attention to them. That's what normally works.
Number two.
Fox Sports listed the top players who have the most pressure on them heading into the 2025 NFL season. And here are the top three in order. Number one, Brock Purdy. Number two, Caleb Williams. Number three, Puka Nacua. So, I'm up first. Which NFL player has the most pressure heading into the 2025 season? I don't think any of those guys have the most pressure. This guy wasn't even on the list.
You don't think Brock Purdy has pressure?
No.
The 49ers basically have broken up their entire team so that they can try to get him signed, which they still haven't done, by the way.
Okay, Brock Purdy has pressure, but I don't think it's as much pressure as someone like Dak Prescott or Prescott. Like, Dak Prescott has real pressure.
Why?
Because
we
he keeps
know
getting, he's
we
paid
already,
the highest guy. He's the highest paid quarterback of the league for a little
over,
bit.
We're over Dak Prescott. We already know he can't get the job done. There's no more pressure
okay,
on him.
Okay, so, okay.
We don't expect him to do anything anymore.
That's a fair point. I will say that Caleb Williams probably faces a lot of pressure because number one overall pick, they got the coach that they wanted in Ben Johnson for the Bears. Caleb Williams had a okay season last year, not great. He got sacked a lot. I think that he has a lot of pressure to make a big jump in year two. Brock Purdy has pressure, but they're going to sign him regardless.
You're trying not to put pressure on Brock Purdy. He's going to face an immense amount of pressure in San Francisco now with the contract.
Who do you think is the number one
pressure?
Well,
I think it's, you know, look, Russell Wilson still is going to have it, especially if he ends up starting in New York for the Giants. Wherever Aaron Rodgers go, there's going to be some pressure, although he'll be on ayahuasca and won't notice it.
He doesn't care.
you know, but, and I mean, I think, you know, some of it will be on the Eagles. They're the Super Bowl champs. They got to have a little pressure. But,
yeah.
And, the Chiefs to try to get back. I don't know. I like Jackson Merrill's take on it. I'm not under pressure. I create pressure. I think most of these guys in the NFL kind of feel the same. I think this is kind of just an article that they had to, you know, come up with some names for.
McRuff the artist agreed with you, Russell Wilson. Didn't even think about that one.
All right.
Number one.
All right, we've talked a lot about the Pirates this week, and it has nothing to do with the baseball being played on the field, but the Pittsburgh Pirates are making some interesting decisions these days, and they, you know, we talked about the advertisement that was put over the Roberto Clemente logo that was in right field. Well, now fans are mad because PNC Park removed the commemorative bricks from in front of the stadium, and those are the bricks that fans paid for. messages and things like that. So after the backlash,
you pay like $100 a brick. Yeah, you get your name on there for perpetuity.
Papa Joe loved his Pirates.
Bought them outside of Petco Park.
They did.
They're there.
Now the backlash has been received by the Pirates because people were very angry. And the bricks are coming back, Chris. This reminds me of when the Giants did this. When they redid their stadium, they ripped up all the bricks and put a digital representation of the bricks, and everybody got mad. So they're
what was the Pirates' reasoning for this?
They remodeled, and they said that throughout the time since it's been there, they've chipped away and it created walking hazards. And
then refresh them. You sold them as something to last forever.
Here's what their president said: "Quote, we respect, appreciate, and understand just how meaningful these messages are. We share in that feeling." You ripped them up, though. "We have been actively planning to develop and unveil a more permanent display for these special messages to honor the enduring support that our fans shared then and continue to share in our future. We look forward to sharing those details soon in celebration of our 25th season at PNC Park."
This is the same president who removed the Roberto Clemente sign, or it happened under his watch.
Yes, correct.
This guy is in the vicinity when I swing my dead cat.
You're hitting idiots?
He's just an idiot. I can't believe, I don't understand how people like this get jobs like that. How are you the president when you're that tone deaf? How? I don't get it.
I don't know that this was his decision, though.
I don't care. It's under his watch.
It is under his watch. Which surprises you more, them removing the bricks or that PNC Park has been open for 25 years? That kind of surprises me a little bit.
Well, the bricks is just, I don't understand.
Here's the question.
Any new stadium sells bricks in there for forever. You can't just take them out.
Here's the question, Chris. Do you think the Pirates care about their fans?
What fans?
There's like 3,000
of them. They don't have to care too much about them. Yeah, they don't have too many of them.
They need them, though. Need them.
I don't know.
But yeah, this is more just a story.
Bad franchise, right? You wonder why the Pirates suck on the field every year? Bleep trickles downhill.
And I'm getting like,
led by the team president. The owner who's stupid enough to hire that guy in the first place.
Ooh, Dominic has a good NFL pressure guy. Lamar Jackson has pressure. Definitely does.
A little bit, yeah.
I like how I'm getting on the chat like different things about what they're doing with the bricks. They wanted to throw these bricks away. And the only reason they're saying they want to do more things with the bricks because people were angry. That's the only reason. That's it for the Scraby Show Scraby Chronicles featuring Chris L.O. Tomorrow, roundtable, 10 a.m. Our show starts at 2 p.m. We will talk with another one of our Apple MLS insiders, and we'll also have all of the usual things on Gwynn and Chris.
Oh, we're talking SDFC tomorrow.
We're talking SDFC tomorrow.
And the Masters gets underway, folks.
Yes.
Friends.
Ben Wood started at 6 a.m. Roundtable, 10 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan. Good night, everybody.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.